Our next reader is Jennifer Elise Forrester, who's helped me through the last few years in many ways, many text messages and phone calls, and knowing Jennifer and her work have made my days better. She's alumna of the Institute of American Indian Arts, or IAIA. You've heard us say that a lot. How many of the group of readers have been through IA? So three, yeah, four. Sasha's here too, Tia, yeah, so. Received her MFA from the Vermont College of the Fine Arts and is completing a PhD at the University of Denver. She is a recipient of the 2017 NEA Creative Writing Fellowship, a Lannan Foundation Writing Residency Fellowship, and was a Wallace Stegner Fellow in Poetry at Stanford. A member of the Muscogee Creek Nation of Oklahoma, she is the author of two books of poetry, Leaving Tulsa and Bright Raft in the Afterweather. She co-directs an arts mentorship program for Muskogee youth and teaches at the IAIA. I always want to say like MFA Low Residency Program. Please welcome Jennifer Elise Forrester.
Hello. Dive right in. Natalie has also made my days much better. Thank you. Descent. I have drunk the night's perfumes, poured tea, batched leaves of the sea's decay, tumbleweed, choke cherry, skeleton leaf. To ascend, I read, you must first descend. Go out a different way than the way you came in. Dawn comes, a lambent orb hovers above the plains. A woman, robed in red-stitched silk, flames at the railroad trestle. Spanish dagger, flat-lined horizon. Black Angus grazing in creosote. Wind whips dust into a slender column, pirouetting over parched fields. No song for the snakes in the dun-colored grass. No doves, no Lucifer hummingbirds. Clouds noctilucent, portend tornadoes. Antelope cram into gabled chambers. I rattle through pink ocotillos. Siphon the sand from my throat. At the crack in the road where sky bleeds through, I wrap myself in thunder's rolling cloak and dive. Huktalwa is in Muskogee a term for an elderly woman. This is called Huktalwa's Crow. There were still songbirds then nesting in hackberry trees and a butterfly named Question. I remember ivy trembling at the vanishing point of your throat. Then the timelines crashed. California split into an archipelago, orchards withered under blooms of ash. Now there is no nectar, no rotten fruit. The air is quiet. Once in Russia, ornithologists trapped a population of hooded crows, transported them 500 miles westward. Winter came. They never caught up with their flock. With crusts of calcified algae, we catalog each day lost. Hot thermals, cirrus vaults, fistfuls of warblers hurtling into dark. There was no sound to the forgetting. We knew the heart would implode before the breath and lungs collapsed, that the world would end in snow, an old woman walking alone, empty bird cage strapped to her back. I thought I'd read, I'm going to read three more poems. These are really new, so they will probably not be in the same form tomorrow. So just a little bit about these three. I'm working on a 64-part poem, and they're connected with all these repeated lines in a very complicated manner that keeps me occupied and terrified most of the time, because I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work out. I'm almost towards the last, 10, and it's starting to, unravel. So, let's see. And they're all in decasyllabic lines. So I'll read three of them. Under restless colonial seabirds, we sailed our cargo across the desert, not questioning if we could find our way back. To lofty pines, wet glades, creeks of painted rocks. We carried our dead on cedar litters until we could carry them no further, then left them by the side of the road, covered in quilts we'd been traded for deer before the last of the deer were killed off, their forests raised somnambulatory. Like deer, we could not fathom our escape. Drew closer together as the fire grew. Where the flames were less violent, leapt out just to fall from our hunters' bullets. Our encampments in the Western country promised us faith and its meager rations. We waited in line for water and fuel, to follow our shadows by gaslight. This was the only way we could survive. Ravens in the sycamore scorched to black. To learn the medicine for vanishing, we have eaten fish from the hollow tree, our ghost now very far from its body. It travels north and doesn't want to return. Why return? When home is warm for pain and is anxious to understand nothing. Here, where your ghost is always departing, the ebb and flow of a circular tide, I follow its echoes loop and chase, the multicolored surfaces of sea, infinite in its arrangement of light, whose evening veiling happens partially. How I appear to myself looking past this fact of being underway. Each day I stow away my earthen materials in preparation for the never end. In the snapshot of my dead friend hanging in the room where loved ones refuse return, a gradual reduction of color, running out of time. Neck deep in water, we knew no one was coming to help us. In the same way one denies language to come from a picture, I imagine love a revelation not of mind, the blue gauze of planetary motion, a tone-on-tone painting of a body floating on the sea's shifting horizons. It is a question of legibility. When I become tired of depicting poetry, I become aware of another kind of plane, the kind that is good for dwellings and their narrative escape. Here, children sit up all night by the flames. The orphan boy from blood-stained pottery who singed his head and burned out both his eyes. That was your life, a prefix for fire. Spider will weave a ladder to your heart, it is said, even though you are sleeping, intoxicated by abandonment, a bitter wind reminiscent of a wave. This is the last one I'll read. I thought about reading all 64, but I haven't written them yet, so you just get three. Burr, marigold, and cardinal flower. This is what you should carry to war. A dried head of the male of the species. Rattles from their hooves, glue from their horns, deer charms, crystals in an otter skin pouch. Carve your bow from black locust and ash. Rafts of deer skin to cross the swollen rivers, bound with grapevines, bundles of cane, saplings for a keel, ribs, and gunnels. Sometimes instructions return like these. Sea turtles rising from extinction, dragging their pregnant shells under moonlight, shoveling deeper time holes in sand, as if there were still children in the stars who were willing to return to us. This is the point at which I reject poetry as a solution to melancholy. In a red ochred cypress dugout canoe, I master the map of never, raft the seven levels of the middle world, from the marshlands to the flat coastal plain, where passenger pigeons darken the sky. In forests of towering longleaf pine, I hear the static of the traveling dead, the beating of flightless giants, the convent's whip of waves and seeds. Here we are two oars in a dying estuary, shell-heaped tiers of a burial mound. Each morning's gray beach of storm petrels and godwits is a memory, a motionless pose, a glacier-crushed ship in time's dismantled light. Thank you all very much.